And we're back here on this Thursday, September the 5th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour, Popcorn Festival Parade Day here in Marion, and we've got a lot of great trivia questions for you today. We've got tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds, we've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo. All you have to do is give us a call at 740-383-9944, and we can get you an answer. Oh, maybe this is a call about something of interest. Go ahead, caller.
You're still talking about the Popcorn Festival?
Yes.
Last year was the first year for Wings and Wheels to have a float, and we were contacted by email. You would be staged at such and such place on Forest Lawn Boulevard. Now, this year, it was a bit of a shock to find out that registration was like a month earlier than last year. And I can't remember if last year it was $30 or whatever, but, you know, a modest price. And also, Wings and Wheels, Inc., is a 501c3. Now, this year, again, it was an earlier registration and everything, and you had to fill out a form what entertainment value would you be bringing, etc., and describe everything that you were doing. I was a bit shocked because we did not receive a phone call, and the instructions said we would receive a phone call whether you were accepted or not. So we waited. Everything passed the deadline and the time that they were supposed to call you and that, and nothing ever happened. And I know quite a few people like at Tri Rivers learning that the early registration had come about when there were few teachers around to really put together a good float in that. But the fact of the matter is, we did not receive a phone call, so we just figured, well, okay, we didn't make it this year. So, as time went by, people were talking, and I was talking with Tom Danner, and he was surprised. So, we ended up getting a phone call from Don Wolf, and he was extremely apologetic about it. But the fact of the matter is, it was an oversight, apparently. Stuff like this happens. Those people that are putting on this popcorn festival, a lot of those people weren't there at the very beginning. People don't understand how difficult a task it is with volunteers to put on such a massive event. We at Wings and Wheels are experiencing that. It takes a lot of manpower, a lot of time and energy, and when you don't have the proper manpower, some things, you know, you have failure to communicate. But, you know, it's not by design. It is, if somebody was left out or whatever, it's just one of those things that happen. It's water under the bridge and over the dam, and you move forward. You know, hopefully it isn't a disgruntled organization or individual that is causing this controversy with the Shriners, et cetera, et cetera. But the public needs to know that it's a massive undertaking, and the people that put on the Popcorn Festival should be applauded, because that is a major effort. And until you've walked in their shoes and taken on some of those responsibilities, you'll never have any idea of what it's like. So the people at the Popcorn Festival should be applauded. It's regrettable that maybe there's a miscommunication and stuff, but that's life. Get over it, you know?
Well, what I'm confused about, and certainly the Popcorn Festival has been a massive undertaking for 39 years, what I'm confused about is, if I wanted to be in the parade, and for whatever reason I did not like the rules, or I didn't get a phone call, or whatever it was, I would just call them. I mean, they have a phone number every year that's open year-round.
I've used that phone number. I thought I left a message, but I never heard back. Again, we have volunteers. People have the best intent. It's like LBJ used to say. People have good intentions. They're just not dependable. And that's what happens when you get volunteers in that. It's just something that's regrettable, but that's what happens. And, Tom Danner is a pretty well-known individual in town, and some of the other folks, I believe, are as well. And, you know, through word of mouth, through the grapevine, I'm sure if somebody really, really, really wanted to find out, hey, what's going on, et cetera, they would make contact somehow, you know?
Well, that's what I don't understand, and I'm not sure why the recourse to not getting a phone call or not maybe feeling you were told what you needed to be told is to go to Facebook and post it there.
Well, that's just, you know, that's someone who lacks a spine. For someone to just carte blanche, just go willy-nilly, oh, we'll do it in Facebook. One of your detractors kind of used that as a threat. Well, we'll see what Facebook has to say about it. You know, that is the biggest, ninniest way to do something, is to just stir up something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, you know?
Well, I never understood posting something on Facebook anyway that was directed at somebody else because, if somebody posts something about me, okay. You know, I think people realize that that's just an opinion, and I think people realize that anything can be faked now on Facebook. So I don't really think too much of it.
Some people do and some people don't, you know. And then there's a certain number of people who have nothing better to do than gossip because their lives are so unfulfilled and they're empty and they need to fill it. It's just like, I think Warren Buffett hit the nail on the head. He said the internet, and I guess we can specifically say social media now, it's like what the CB radio craze was. Most everybody who didn't license their radio could talk over the airwaves anonymously, and nobody would necessarily know who you were, and you could say and do whatever you want. And that's what's happening right now with social media.
Well, it's a shame, and I just hope that everything gets ironed out before the parade tonight and onward and upward.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think the majority of people are going to say, yeah, this is a bunch of bovine dirt, and leave it at that and move on. And the only thing that is good, they always say in Hollywood, there's no such thing as bad media. So you've got your name out there in the organization, whether somebody's bad-mouthing you or talking good of you, it's the same result. So I don't think this little whatever it is going to do much of anything. So... But the people putting on this, the Popcorn Festival, hey, anybody who wants to take that undertaking, more power to them, and they should be applauded.
It's a big job. Thanks for calling.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's different, and if you have an opinion on any of this, give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you have an opinion on any of this or anything else going on. 25 and a half minutes past the hour here on this Thursday morning. Remember, if the phone is ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. But currently... the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will get you on the air. Now, we do have our trivia questions here. We have tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds. We have tickets to the Columbus Zoo. Or if you just would like to call in and answer a trivia question correctly, we would love for you to do that. We have two questions involving the Marion Popcorn Festival today. Does anybody know the name of the Marion Popcorn Festival mascot? Does anybody know the name? Now, the reason I know this is because a few years ago, there was a book put out on the Marion Popcorn Festival, and I recently found that book, and in that book, the popcorn mascot is named. Now, you will see this popcorn mascot in the parade tonight, I'm sure, and you will see this person throughout the festivities this weekend. Does anybody know the name of the Marion Popcorn Festival mascot? Also, in regard to the popcorn festival, does anybody know the percentage of popcorn that is eaten in the home? The percentage of popcorn that is eaten in the home. All I need is the percentage. You don't have to tell me anything else. How much popcorn do you think, what do you think the percentage of popcorn is that's eaten at home as opposed to outside the home? What percentage? Those are the two popcorn questions. Then we have our questions, which we've had all week this week. What local Marion business, which is still in business, sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball back in 2007? Does anybody know that? What local Marion business that is still in business sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball back in 2011? What was radio station WMRN's slogan in 1947? Now, it was probably their slogan prior to 1947 and probably a little bit after 1947. But does anybody know what their slogan was in 1947? What is the estimated attendance of the 1945 county fairs? Now, that's an interesting question because you got to go back and think. In 1945, this is before everybody had a television. This is a time when I think people were more involved in agriculture. What do you think the estimated attendance was at the 1945 county fairs around the Marion area? Who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? Does anybody know who the mayor of Marion would have been in 1941? So those are the questions. Oh, I think we had two more here. Hold on a second. Let me get the other paper here. What TV show did a big parody of Bob Hope's song Buttons and Bows in the 1990s? Does anybody know what TV show, and it was a long-running TV show in the 1990s, did a big parody of Bob Hope's Buttons and Bows song? It was a number... well, at least a top 10 show in the 90s and early 2000s, ran for a long time. Who was the most famous clown in television history to be killed on the air? Does anybody know that? The most famous clown in television history to be killed on the air. That's a question for you. 740-383-9944. Tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds, tickets to the Columbus Zoo, or if you just want to call in and answer the question or ask a question, you can feel free to do so. The question's on the table. Who is the most famous clown in television history to be killed on the air? What TV show did a big parody of Bob Hope's Buttons and Bows song in the 1990s? Very popular television series. What is the name of the Marion Popcorn Festival mascot? What's his name? What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? Just need the percentage. The percentage of popcorn that is eaten in the home. What local business, Marion business, which is still in business today, sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball back in 2007. Now, in 2007, they were called the Red Carpet Reports. As I've said this week, I know that because Madge Cooper and I did those broadcasts. Does anybody know what Marion business, local business, still in business, sponsored the broadcast of the Red Carpet Reports back in 2007? Now, if you just think about local businesses in Marion and guess one that's still open today, you might get this question right. What was WMRN's slogan in 1947? The radio station WMRN, the AM side, 1490. What was their slogan in 1947? That's all we need to know. What was the estimated attendance at the 1945 county fairs? Does anybody know what that would be? And who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? The mayor of Marion in 1941. Who would that have been? All right. Those are your questions. 740-383-9944. You know, everybody might be getting ready for the Popcorn Festival, 32 minutes past the hour. It's a big thing when it comes to Marion. And it's a big 3 days. And the estimated attendance on this thing, the Popcorn Festival, is rather big, which is great for the city of Marion. That is for sure. Go ahead, caller.
Was Nathan Peters the mayor?
Not Nathan Peters. Now, was he mayor in that time period?
Well, I think it was 1930, but I thought maybe since it was the first one that it would have been carried on to 41.
You know, it wasn't Nathan Peters, but if he was mayor in the 30s, I'm guessing this person probably followed him.
I would think. Okay,
I would think. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Not Nathan Peters. You know, it's interesting because you go back past a certain point in history and the mayors kind of get a little forgotten and sketchy. Most people, I think, know who the mayor was back in the 70s and maybe even into the 60s. But back in the 40s, that's a little different. But we have learned of a lot of mayors' names who I have not heard before. That's for sure. Now, does anybody know who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? That's the big question. The mayor of Marion in 1941. What was the estimated attendance at the 1945 county fairs? Now, this would be fairs also around Marion County. I think it's every county fair that touched Marion County. So how many people do you think went to the county fairs in 1945? Does anybody know WMRN's slogan back in 1947? Does anybody know what local business sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball? It's a local business that is still in business today. Does anybody know the name of the mascot for the Marion Popcorn Festival? Who was the mascot for the Marion Popcorn, or who is the mascot for the Marion Popcorn Festival? What is that person's name? What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? Now, that's interesting because we eat out a lot now. But what percentage of popcorn is eaten inside the home as opposed to outside the home? And all we need is the percentage. So it's got to be somewhere between 1 and 100. Does anybody know? It's interesting. I wonder if people used to eat more popcorn outside the home. I don't know if popcorn was ever a big thing in restaurants or... Well, you know, I guess baseball games, football games, movie theaters, those are places where you can get popcorn. You know, I wonder how movie theaters got tied to popcorn.
I wonder why popcorn is the food of the movie theater. Does anybody know why that is? Sometimes I think, see, this is how my mind works. Sometimes I think about stuff like that. Now, we just take it for granted or a given that that's the way it is. But why? Why do we have popcorn when we go to the movies? Why is that something to do with the movies? And I've often said this about radio, and a lot of you might be listening to this program right now in a car. How did the radio get tied to the car? Because it is interesting, now we think, well, every car needs to have a radio or a satellite radio or something like that, but that was not always the case. Certainly every car did not have a radio in the early days of cars. So how was it that cars got tied to the radio, or the radio got tied to cars, I guess is maybe the better way to say it, but it certainly has kept the radio alive. So I think those are all interesting questions, because we come up with things here in the United States, other countries do the same, and things get tied together, and we never wonder why. You know, you go to see a movie, to this day, it's candy and popcorn. Candy, popcorn, soda. That's it. And why is that? Why was there never another type of food that got tied to those particular movie theaters? I don't know. Because I'm trying to think. Now, if you go see, like, a Broadway show, now, do they serve popcorn there? You know, the couple of times I've been to New York, I don't remember them serving popcorn in the theater of a Broadway show. Now, if you go to theaters across the country, now, they serve popcorn, like our Palace Theater. I know you can go out and get popcorn during a show, but is that the case all around the country? Can you still get popcorn anywhere you go? I don't know. Little sidetrack there. Does anybody know the answers to any of these? 740-383-9944. Any of these things that we just consider norms now in the United States? Popcorn and movie theaters, radios and cars, bubble gum and baseball. Why bubblegum and baseball? Can you still even buy baseball cards? I remember when you could buy the baseball cards and you'd get that weird stick of gum that was in the baseball cards. Now, why was that stick of gum in the baseball cards? And I wonder how that got past the Food and Drug Administration. That's always been interesting to me. I don't know. Maybe one of those things. Go ahead, caller.
You want to know why bubble gum and baseball?
Yes.
From the story I saw on Netflix about Kurt Russell's dad's baseball team in, I think it was Portland, Oregon, or maybe it was Seattle, Washington. I think it was Jim Boughton and someone else got the bright idea of shredded up bubble gum for kids instead of chewing tobacco. So it came out of that. Whatever it was that came in a pouch, shredded chewing gum. Now, that's the story I got from the documentary about the baseball team up there. And Kurt Russell's dad was Bing Russell, and he played the sheriff on Bonanza. But that's how the bubble gum started.
Well, being around the movie industry, do you know why popcorn is with the movie industry?
Well, I'm not around that movie industry, but I mean the background and education. My guess would be the reason you don't have that stuff in a Broadway musical or a show or the theater is that's something that came out of concession stands of movie houses, movie theaters. Don't know when it started, but, you know, that's where a lot of these operators make their money. There's not that much margin on motion pictures, and the cost to rent those So that's why things are so expensive at the concession stand at a theater.
Well, it is interesting because I know when we go to the Palace for any event, they do have popcorn and they have boxes of popcorn. But I wonder around the country if that's the same case when you go to a theater like the Palace.
Well, when you say go to a theater like the Palace, ain't too many of them around.
Well, like I was,
the other theaters.
I was thinking, like, you know, in Columbus, they have the Palace Theater in Columbus. And
The Palace Theater in Columbus, I was there some years ago when they showed a series of Laurel and Hardy movies all day, Sons of the Desert or whatever that organization's called. Now, they did because they were a regular movie theater, but they also, they were part of vaudeville and the circuit and everything, I believe, just like the Great Southern Theater. In that, so when you had, and I'm educated guess, when you had the silent movies and then you had the organ players with that, which, by the way, motion pictures were never meant to be silent. That's why they always had an orchestral accompaniment. And then later when the talkies came in, obviously you don't need the band or the organ player playing along with the movie. So, you know, it all probably evolved out of vaudeville too, and all of those kinds of shows. You know, you always see it in a movie where here they're up on stage and people throwing tomatoes and stuff like that. I guess maybe somebody got the bright idea, hey, popcorn's a lot softer.
Well, you know, I always wondered about that, too. See, that's one of the things I always wondered about, because you see them throwing vegetables or fruit. They threw fruit in some cases. And I always wondered, why would you buy a whole tomato? Why would a concession stand in a theater be selling a whole tomato?
Well, that's only in the movies. I mean, I seriously doubt that in reality ever happened.
I was going to say, I wonder where that came from. I wonder, even the movie person who thought that up, why tomatoes? I mean, it doesn't even seem realistic.
Because you could really hit, it's just like the cream pie. They're not really, I mean, originally they probably started out being cream pies, but they ended up becoming shaving cream. Because, you know, you get a cream pie, and there's some heft to that, the aluminum foil in that, somebody could really get hurt. So out of the Keystone Cop era, all of that kind of stuff, and the gags that were going on. I mean, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd, and all these kings of real comedy, they did all their stunts and everything. A lot of people got hurt, and that's how it evolved into making it safer, and the Stuntmen's Association and all that, the union and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just like what you see is not reality, but people believe it to be reality. Like, the only thing that comes to mind are sharks. By and large, sharks are not going to, they see a human being, they're not going to attack them unless that human being is bleeding or doing something to cause them to come after them. Just like a bull doesn't necessarily chase you unless you're between it and its, I don't know, female bull or whatever they have. And stuff. So there's a lot of things that are, you know, concocted out of Hollywood to make your viewing experience that much more pleasurable, I guess.
It's fascinating because it's become one of those things that has carried over now, and I think the majority of people probably do think that people did throw vegetables, that people did throw fruit.
And, you know, it could have been out of one incident that may have happened. Who knows? This is one of those things that comes with it, like the, quote, old wives' tales.
That's true. And home remedies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Can you be politically correct today and say old wives' tales?
I think you can. I think we'll let that one slide.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a good show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. It is interesting. You know, and obviously the caller brings up the point there of throwing vegetables and throwing fruit. I never understood that, because
Did they bring those tomatoes from home? Did they bring that fruit from home? Because why would a concession stand be selling a whole tomato or a whole piece of fruit? I mean, were people in theaters just sitting around eating tomatoes and apples and oranges and things of that nature? I just can't imagine that ever happened. It's kind of strange. It might have come out of a movie, but I still don't know why popcorn is so closely tied with movie theaters. I don't know how that happened. Did it start with the old big theaters like the Palace Theater, and there were other theaters throughout the country, Renaissance Theater? I don't know if that's what happened, and I don't know why it all got to where it is. Who knows? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
I think probably popcorn was really pushed by the manufacturers of these, the large glass enclosed popcorn poppers, you know, selling them to all the theaters and, you know, telling them how, you know, it would generate the aroma. That's what attracts most people to buying popcorn, is walking into the lobby and smelling the popcorn.
Well, that is true, and it's always been interesting to me because anytime you go see a movie or something in a theater, popcorn's all over the floor, so it's certainly not the easiest thing
right.
to clean up.
Yeah, but it's cheap too. You know,
it is cheap, and the markup on popcorn's pretty good.
Right,
right.
You know, you can convince any a theater owner that you know, it's a very profitable operation, especially if you want to sell him a new popcorn popper.
That's exactly right. And nothing beats the smell of freshly popped
That's
popcorn.
That's right. It probably attracts 50% of the people to the concession stand, is an aroma going in.
I would think so. Hey, thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That probably is true. I would imagine the aroma of popcorn certainly plays into it, because it does make people want to have popcorn. Have you ever been to the movie with somebody and they swear when they go into the theater they're not going to buy popcorn? And then once they get in there and they see it and they smell it, they've got to have the popcorn. A matter of fact, I think the popcorn thing is very interesting, because I think when people smell it now, freshly buttered popcorn, the first thing they think of is the movies. And I notice at Christmas time, if you buy somebody a movie, a lot of people will get people who they're buying gifts for popcorn. They'll get them a popcorn tin, or they'll get them a bag of popcorn or microwave popcorn, something of that nature. It's kind of interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, the thing that ruined the whole experience with popcorn is burnt popcorn.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible smell.
That's a terrible smell. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, goodness gracious, yes. Burnt popcorn. Now, when microwave popcorn came in, it was so easy to burn the popcorn. I don't know if it's become easier now not to burn the popcorn in the microwave. It's actually been a really long time since I've had any microwavable popcorn. But I remember you had to be very specific when microwave popcorn first came out, that you had to follow those instructions on that bag to the T, or you would get that burnt popcorn. And you know, when popcorn is burnt, it's a total loss. There's no way to fix that. It's a total goner. I don't know if there was such a problem with burning popcorn when people were making them in those popcorn makers or making them on the stove. I know a lot of people still make them on the stove. I notice when you're in the grocery store, you can still buy popcorn kernels. So I assume people are making them on the stove. I don't know what else you would do with popcorn kernels. String them for your Christmas tree. Now, there's another thing. Now, see, stream of consciousness here this morning. Where has that gone? When is the last time you walked in to somebody's house at Christmas and saw popcorn strung on their Christmas tree? But you go back to the 80s, 70s, 60s, this was almost a staple. Everybody had strings of popcorn
on their Christmas tree. Everybody had strings of popcorn, and do you remember those chains that people would make at school? They would do the construction paper and tape them, and then they would, one chain would be different than the next chain, and they were colorful, usually green and red or green and white or something like that, and people would string those on the tree. Haven't seen those for a long time. Do you remember the icicles that used to be on the carpet for 6 months after Christmas? You don't see those anymore. What else is there? Cranberries. People used to string cranberries on Christmas trees. They don't do that anymore. What do you think happened to these things? Popcorn used to be a Christmas staple. I don't know why popcorn was on the Christmas tree. Does anybody know why popcorn was on the Christmas tree? Popcorn, apparently, just thinking about it here this morning, has ended up in a lot of very strange places. 740-383-9944. What do you make of the big popcorn crazes? And where have they gone? Maybe this has hurt popcorn, not being on Christmas trees anymore. I don't know. It's the changing times, I guess. We do still have some trivia questions here, 52 minutes past the hour. Don't forget Charlie Evers coming up 10:10 to 12 noon, and A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble coming up today 12:10 to 1 p.m. But does anybody know the name of the mascot for the Popcorn Festival? The name of the mascot for the Popcorn Festival. 39 years of the Popcorn Festival. Does anybody know the name of the mascot? What percentage of popcorn is eaten in the home? Now, we just talked about all the places that popcorn is eaten outside the home, but what percentage of popcorn is eaten inside the home? Now, this has to be between 1 and 100. So if you call in between 1 and 100, you have a possibility of getting this right. What percentage of popcorn is eaten inside the home? What local Marion business sponsored the broadcast of the last charity ball in 2007? The Marion business that sponsored the last broadcast of the last charity ball in 2007. It's a local business that's still in business here in Marion. Does anybody know WMRN's slogan, radio station WMRN's slogan, in 1947, and also probably other years from that era? Does anybody know what their slogan was back in 1947? Does anybody know the estimated attendance of the 1945 county fairs? Now, I'm not just talking about Marion. This is probably fairs that touched Marion County as well. Does anybody know the estimated attendance of the 1945 county fairs, or does anybody know the mayor of Marion in 1941? Who was the mayor of Marion in 1941? Those are the questions. We've got tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds. We've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo. 740-383-9944 is the number. Or if you just want to call in and answer the question, you have about 5.5 minutes to do so before the end of the program today. Or if you want to comment on anything else we've talked about, from popcorn to why people do what they do and why the Popcorn Festival has turned into a bit of a, I don't even know what you call it. Like I say, I don't like the word controversy because I'm not sure that's what it is. But why this year have people been a little more dissatisfied than in past years? Is it because the internet is now the place to go to air your grievance? I mean, the whole issue with the township firefighters, I just found that very odd, because the township firefighters, if you're just tuning into the program, just when we thought all the problems were solved yesterday with the Marion Popcorn Festival, the township firefighters went to Facebook yesterday and said they had not been contacted to be in the parade this year, and they were sorry they wouldn't be in the parade, and the Popcorn Festival, I think, wanted them in the parade, so it's kind of strange. Go ahead, caller.
the situation with the Popcorn Festival, since it isn't really a controversy, maybe a term that Judge Judy would use, a kerfluffle.
You know, I like the term kerfluffle.
Yeah, so maybe that's what it is.
I like a kerfluffle. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
But I was, you know what's weird? Now, see, that's serendipitous, because I used to use the word kerfluffle all the time, and nobody knew what it meant. And apparently now Judge Judy uses kerfluffle. And I actually thought about calling it a kerfluffle there instead of a controversy, but I didn't think anybody would know what a kerfluffle was. But yes, I would qualify what's going on at the Popcorn Festival as a kerfluffle, because I don't think it's personal and I don't think it's a controversy. I just think it's an odd series of events that has happened. But what I was saying, the Marion Township Fire Department went to Facebook and said they had not been asked to be in the festival this year, and they enjoy being in the festival, and they were sorry they weren't going to be in the festival. And people showed that to the Popcorn Festival people yesterday, and the Popcorn Festival people said, well, of course we want them in the parade, and I guess tried to call the Township Fire Department, and they could not get a hold of anybody yesterday. But I did see on the Township Fire Department's page today that they said this might have changed their post yesterday, so maybe they will be in the parade tonight. But I don't know what's happening there. There's some kind of breakdown in communication, and like I said earlier, does it have something to do with the fact that we don't talk to each other anymore? You know, if you want to be in the parade and you had not been contacted, wouldn't you call them up and just say, hey, I want to be in the parade. What happened? We've been in it for years. But now people's first reaction is to go to Facebook and post it. I don't know. It's just different. It's a really, I'm going to blame it on texting and Facebook and social media and all that. And the fact that people don't talk anymore. I don't know. That's my opinion. What's yours? We got about 2 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we did not get either of the Popcorn Festival trivia questions answered. You know, I can't believe that nobody knows the name of the mascot for the Marion Popcorn Festival. Because I think when we did Bratwurst Festival trivia, we asked what the mascot for the Bratwurst Festival was, and everybody knew it was Brody. But nobody knows the name of the mascot for the Marion Popcorn Festival? Maybe this person does, who's calling in here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. It's not really social, the social media. It's very wrongly named to call it social media, because there is a distance between people anymore, and there's actually really no friendships because of social media.
I would agree with you. I think social media might have made us more unsocial than we've ever been at any time in the history of the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think you're right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Very good point there. We probably have time for one more call today, 740-383-9944. If you want to ring in, we'll take the call here, and I'm sure Charlie will take your calls. He'll be coming up today from 10:15 to 12 noon, and then Glenn Coble, A Progressive Life, from 12:15 to 1 p.m., and much more programming here on WWGH Radio, but nobody knows the name of the mascot for the Marion Popcorn Festival. We'll ask this question again tomorrow. You'll have to think about it, because everybody knows Brody from the Bratwurst Festival, but apparently nobody knows the mascot from the Popcorn Festival. Maybe somebody can go down to the festival tonight and say, hey, what's the mascot's name? Come back and answer it tomorrow morning. But that's all for me. Charlie Evers coming up in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The height of one time, well, two times is a big story. This we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody stealing. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this. And so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, in teaching. And so I went up and bumped her.